Nowadays, there's not too much difference between Christians and the world. This person, I wish I could remember who it was, but this person said, he was talking about a Christian singer going to becoming a rock singer, and they said all they did was change God to "Oh Baby Baby." And that was it. And in a manner of speaking, that person was right. And I'm not, you know, I'm not here to harp on how people listen to music, although, you know, as most of you who know me know that I'm not at all hesitant to bring in a little conviction here and there. But I'm not, you know, the purpose isn't to harp on music, but really, if we're going to be Christians, are we going to be Christians? Or are we simply going to call ourselves Christians and be just like the rest of the world with a nice religious little title? And I don't mean necessarily that we do things or follow laws, because in Galatians, it's not of the law, it's by grace. But when grace enters into the heart of a believer, when a believer is really touched by the pure mercy and grace of God, that heart is totally and completely transformed. That's how we become written epistles. It's by the grace of God alone. Romans chapter 7, we died unto the law, and we've become alive unto the grace of God. The law and grace cannot meet. A lot of believers like a little bit of law mixed in with their grace, but that's no grace at all. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. What that is deception. But what grace does for me, it allows me to enter through the cross, and the cross is a magnificent thing. I think a lot of believers tell you the cross is a very difficult and burdensome thing, but it's not. It's a very liberating thing. And it's not, oh, I've got to bear my cross. No, it's I've already been crucified, and I start believing it. That's what picking up the cross means. I have been, in the original language, it's past tense, crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. I can have the life of God living in me and through me, and I can have the fullness of the life of God. I can have my cup running over by the grace of God, bringing me to the cross and producing resurrection life, the life that Jesus experienced after the cross in my heart. Why? Because He went through it, and I went through it with Him, or so the Bible says. And although I did not experience those things, as far as God is concerned, these things are the reality, and since God knows everything, who am I to argue with God? But I think that we believers sometimes tend to argue with God in these respects, like, I don't really believe that I've been through the cross, although it's a nice theological concept, I don't really get it. Well, it is what it says. I have been, past tense, crucified. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto self and alive unto Christ. Self is my source of bondage. Self is not a pleasing thing. People think, oh, if I live for myself, if I serve myself, if I get to know myself, I'm going to actually get something that's rewarding and I'll have a good life. Couldn't be a worse satanic deception around. If you want to be truly miserable, get to know self. Why? Because the whole head is sick, the heart is faint, there's no good thing in me. What's there to get to know? I'd rather forget about it. But God's life is abundant. He gives you life and life more abundant. Like in the original language, it's not just more abundant, but it's like magnificently more abundant. It's like beyond measure more abundant. Not just a little bit more. No, it is a life that is overflowing. I mean, a life that occupies the... Really, think about it. God's life, one, occupies all of the universe, and two, occupies all of eternity. And He offers you this now. Not later, now. The plan of God is not for later. The plan of God is for now. So if we're going to be Christians, let's have the life of God in us. Unfortunately, I think a lot of believers don't have the life of God in them because they don't really know what that even means. They don't know what cross means. They don't know what grace means. And although they've heard it spoken of, they've heard the concept. In other words, they can intellectually acknowledge that yes, they have heard these words uttered in the past and they remember hearing them uttered, but the meaning, the fullness of the life of those scriptures is not resident in their hearts. They don't have life abundant. Did you know that God has abundant life for you right now? And the way to get it is through the Word of God, the pure, unadulterated, rich wealth of Word of God. Why? Because the Word became flesh. I take in the Word, I'm taking in Christ. The Word became flesh. There's such a shortage nowadays of the Word, and people are perfectly okay with this, but it's not a good thing. This is why we are in what God called the Laodicean age in Revelation chapter 3. We are in the Laodicean age where people think they are wealthy, but they are naked and desolate and poor. Why? Because in the end times, and we are in the part of the end times called the beginning of sorrows, in the end times, there will hardly be such a thing as faith. Truth falls into the ground. People heap unto themselves pastors having itching ears who do not preach the Word of God, but they preach an opinion. And that's not to indict anybody. Please don't think I'm trying to indict any person or any church. This is just a principle in the Bible. The Bible says this. It's not my opinion. The Bible says this. So, you know, what you're doing with your sister is magnificent. What you're doing is you're building a capacity in her heart for God. And that's a beautiful thing because that's the place where she's going to find abundant life. Like, a life without God stinks. Really. Life without God stinks. Because there is actually no life in that life without God. There is existence, but there is not life. There's a lot of lifeless people, including Christians, walking around, and they think this is the best that they can get. And they're frustrated and they're upset, thinking, this must be all God has for me. Well, hello, have you heard about abundant life? Have you heard about Ephesians 3:20, who'll give you above and beyond all that you can ask or think? People aren't getting anywhere near what they can ask or think. People in the world and Christians. Why? Because they're not into the Word of God so much. It's funny, I think a lot of Christians today they talk a lot about the Bible, but they get very little of it. It's almost like our little banner. Oh, Bible, Ten Commandments. Don't, God forbid, anybody remove the Ten Commandments from in front of a building. But you know what? The Ten Commandments have been removed from their hearts. Why? Because the Word falls into the street. Jeremiah 23, the people who are supposed to deliver the Word aren't delivering the Word wholesale. Now, thank God there are people who are delivering the Word. But I'm talking about the age that we're in. I'm not talking about specific individuals. This is the age that we're in. Like, you all know, I'll guarantee it, you all know people who are Christians and frustrated as Christians, who are not experiencing abundant life. Why? Because they're not getting the Word of God. Simple as that. The Word of God produces life. Plain and simple. It is the same Word of God that gave life to the humanity of Christ. The Word became flesh. It is the same Word of God that was spoken and things came into being. God spoke the universe into existence. And by the way, these things are scientifically evident. If you're willing to talk to a scientist, or if you can talk to a scientist who's willing to be honest, they are scientifically evident. So many believers walking with no life in their lives. No fullness, no joy. You know, there's really very little difference between the way so many believers live and the rest of the world. Why? Because the thing that separates us from the world is the Word of God. Sanctify them according to thy word. Thy word is truth. So if they're not getting the Word of God, they're not being set apart from the world unto God. That's what sanctification means, to be set apart unto God. So believers, although they love God and they're sincere, they're unfulfilled. And this is a problem. Because, like, why is our country in the state that it is? It's not because of one political party or the other. Honestly, I believe with all my heart, it is really the church's responsibility. Because it was the believers that held back judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah. It's the believers that hold back judgment for the United States. And it is the believers, really, the state of our country is kind of an indication of the health of our churches. And, you know what it's like. And America is still doing pretty good. I mean, compared to some other countries, maybe with the exception of South Korea, but compared to, with, I'd say, most countries, we're like, you know, we're doing really, really well. And that's a really sad statement. Because, and I'm not talking about like a war or anything. I'm not talking about anything political. I'm talking about the mindset that is in our country. It's the believers. I mean, if there are 60 million evangelical believers in this country, how is it that every single election is not being decided by the evangelical believers? Because the evangelical believers aren't having enough conviction towards the Word of God and from the Word of God in their hearts to make a difference. There is the remnant is decreasing. And by remnant, I don't mean people who are believers, but people who have the life of God flowing through them and doctrine resident in their hearts and being the operational premise of the decisions of their minds. But it's all about this Word, folks. It's all about this Word. Do not compromise this Word. At the Bema Seat, at the judgment seat of Christ, in the original language it's called the Bema Seat. At the judgment seat of Christ, it's the Word that judges us in John chapter 3. It's the Word. We're going to be judged by the Word. Yet, so many of us are so content to not receive the Word of God in fullness and richness, as though it wasn't actually even there. And I think a lot of believers actually even think this, oh, it's not there. I think actually even if you ask them, they would say, well, it's not really there. That's a lie. It is there. The Word of God, and there's, I mean, I would say the majority of places you go really don't teach, but there are, certainly you can find them. There are places that, and I'm not saying you should leave any place. You are called where your parents are called. Okay, that's like, let's get that established. So until you are, you know, an adult, you are under the authority of your parents, and that is what God will honor. So this is not saying, hey, let's get rebellious or anything like that. I want to do this or that. What it is saying, though, when you are at the right age, you need to know these principles. Okay. You need to know these principles of how to walk with God. What you're doing for your sister is you are building a capacity in her for God in truth and in practical reality, so that what the Word of God says can be an experience in her life that starts at a very young age. Now, that can happen even if a believer, you know, someone gets saved when they're older. But hey, all the better if she's very young, right? Because why go through the hassles that so many young people go through? I mean, a lot of confusion, a lot of hurt, a lot of heartache, a lot of trouble. And, you know, building a capacity like that in her can really spare her from a great deal of that. Years ago, I had a friend whose daughter had a tumor in her stomach. And eventually, she was just a little girl. She was about 4 years old. Eventually, the tumor became larger than she was. And some of you have heard me tell this story before. Eventually, the tumor became larger than she was. And when she was in the hospital, There was a, I don't know if he's even around anymore, but there was a gospel singer named Steve Green. Her mom would put in Steve Green cassettes, because they didn't have CDs yet. Her mom would put in Steve Green cassettes into the tape recorder and play them for her, because she was in a lot of pain and was suffering a great deal with the treatments. And it became really evident that she wasn't gonna live, because the tumor was bigger than she was. So this little gal, she would listen to Steve Green, and the nurses and the doctors would come in, and she'd raise her hand praising God. And the anointing in that room, the presence of the Holy Spirit in that room, was palpable. And doctors and nurses would walk into the room, and they would walk out in tears, because they were touched by the love of God. Why? Because this little girl had a capacity for the love of God built in her heart, just like you're doing for your sister. And when God finally took her home, the little girl said to her mom, she said, and she was afraid to die. She was afraid because, not because she was afraid of death per se, but she was afraid to leave her mom. So her mother had to tell her, you know, when Jesus comes for you, it's okay, take him by the hand and go with him. Go with him. Because her mother wanted to alleviate that fear in her. And so one night, the little girl said to her mom, Jesus wants me now. I saw him and he wants me now. So her mom said, well, go with him. And a couple hours later, she died. But she could have this because there was a capacity. Although she was very young, there was a capacity built in her heart by the Word of God from her mom and dad that transcended any intellectual knowledge, that transcended any religious thought. It was simply the presence of the Holy Spirit being imparted to a little girl. Just like what you're doing for your sister. And, you know, I can't fathom. Now, this has been a long time. This has been about 20 years now. But I can't fathom the riches that this little girl got in heaven in those 4 years for having suffered. Well, first of all, the Word of God says that they that suffer with Christ will reign with Him. So if a believer is suffering with Christ, that believer is going to reign with Him. And by suffering with Christ, that can take on a variety of different shapes and forms. But certainly, one of the forms is when you are suffering, you are glorifying God in the suffering. And like right now, 20 years later, in this room, we are talking about this little girl. The fruit of that short life is immense. Because somebody had planted the seeds of the Word of God in her heart. Anyway, that was just a thought. Anything else before we get started? Anybody? Okay. Father, bless these words to our hearts. Anoint our ears to hear. Anoint our hearts to receive. Father, give us a portion from your throne. In Jesus' name. Jeremiah 28 in verse 9. You don't have to really, you can, but you don't have to turn there. We're not going to stay there. It's just like a thought. So in Jeremiah 28 verse 9, the Word of God says, the prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. A lot of believers, and I've heard this a lot lately, a lot of believers will say things like, God led me here, or God spoke to me and said this, or God did, you know. And they will say, God said, when He did not in fact say. And you know that God didn't say it because it doesn't bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit. I can always tell if somebody knows what they're saying when they said, God told me, if it bears the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that I have found is that people say, God led me, or God told me, or God spoke to me, and they are going into things that are contrary to the Word of God. God will never lead me and speak to me in a manner that is contrary to His Word, because He would have to be going against Himself. God will never speak to me or lead me contrary to the Word of God. I don't care about sovereignty, and God certainly is sovereign. I don't care about unique situations, and certainly God considers unique situations. But I don't care about any other excuse that somebody can come up with. If it is contrary to the Word of God, it is not of God. Because God cannot deny Himself. And He is the living Word. As a matter of fact, in Revelation, on His thigh, it's written, the Word of God. That is one of His names, the Word of God. God cannot deny Himself. So believers that say things like, oh, God led me into this, but it's an unfruitful place, or an unfruitful thing in their life. No, God didn't lead you at all. Believers are in unfruitful situations in their life or unfruitful places, and they'll say things like, oh, God didn't lead me out. Well, no kidding, God never led you in. How's He going to lead you out if He didn't lead you in? Just let Him lead you. So we're going to talk a little bit today about how to hear from the Holy Spirit and be led by God. Anyway, in Genesis chapter 3, and starting in verse 8, the Word of God says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. What did they hear? What is the first? They saw God? No. God did a great miracle? No. They heard the voice of the Lord. Now, God comes to meet us moment by moment. And He has something to say moment by moment. And it's not an emotional thing, and it's not a worked up thing. It's just God has something to say moment by moment. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Now, you probably recognize this portion of scriptures that we're looking at right now, as this is initially, right, what happened after the fall. The first thing that happened when they failed is they heard the voice of the God, of God looking for them in the garden. What was it that was looking for them? And how was He looking? God was looking for them, and how was He trying to search them out? With His Word. God's voice is God's Word. So God sent the Word of God to find them because God knew what had happened. God knew there was a failure, so He sent the Word of God to seek them out. And they hid themselves among the trees of the garden. Now, in application, okay, not literally, but in application for our thought today, okay, if you go to Mark, or you don't have to turn that, I can read it to you, you're certainly welcome to, Mark 8:24, the Word of God says, and He looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Well, the Word of God frequently describes people as trees. You are a tree planted by the water. We are frequently described this way, and they hid themselves among the trees of the garden. Now, there is a real pitfall for a lot of believers that we really need to be aware of and learn to avoid. It is extremely easy to hide ourselves from the presence of God among the trees of the garden. What are the trees of the garden as an illustration for this application. The trees of the garden are other believers. I can hide from the presence of God in a church or in some Christian organization. And I can justify it in my heart and appease my conscience by saying, oh, I'm in a church. But it's very easy, and I don't care how good the church is, it's very easy for the believer who wants to hide from God to hide among the trees of the garden. Because their conscience is appeased. And they say, well, I came to church or I came to whatever fellowship I have, and therefore I must be okay. But in fact, I'm hiding from God. And how is it that I'm hiding from God? Because instead of getting to know Him, I'm hiding from His presence with a religious sort of thought or activity or some religious mindset that brings in some of the law and says, I'll just abide by this and I'll be just fine. That's not really getting to know Him. In John 17:3, by this we have eternal life, that we may know Him. That's not getting to know Him. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, where art thou? Now God knew where Adam was, but Adam didn't know where Adam was. Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and hid myself. The first result of the fall, fear. What is fear? When I turn away from the love of God, I have fear. Why? Because perfect love casts out fear. I was afraid. Why was I afraid? Because I was naked, shame. Second result of the fall. The finished work, the blood of the Lamb, takes away my guilt. The finished work and the blood of the Lamb. And you know what's funny to me as I'm talking to you, I'm realizing, I'll bet you're not really clear on what I mean by the finished work. And maybe you are, but maybe you're not. So in case you're not, let me just clarify this one point, because it is the foundational doctrine of all of Christianity. This book is about the finished work of Christ. You know how I know? Because from Genesis to Revelation, the Word of God talks about the work being finished. In Revelation 13:8, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. What was the last thing that the Lamb said on the cross? It is finished. It was finished before the world began. Genesis chapter 1. God gave the stars for signs and for seasons. Those are not seasons like winter, spring, summer, and fall. Those are seasons of God's history with mankind. The signs that He is talking about are not signs like, oh, it must be October or something, or astrology, the perversion it is that nowadays, although it used to be something godly. Right? The wise men follow the star. Daniel taught them how to read the stars in Babylon. Started a Bible college. For signs and for seasons. In Psalm 19, the Word of God is written in nature as well as in heaven. I'm sorry, and as well as in the book. When He gave that for the signs and for seasons, it was the signs and the seasons leading to our understanding of the finished work of Christ. And every book between Genesis and Revelation talks about the finished work of Christ. It is finished. What is finished? Justification by grace through faith, yet not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. It is finished. From the beginning to the end, it is finished. That's what I'm talking about, the finished work. I don't have to do anything, I just receive it. In 2 Timothy 1:9, it is of faith, not of works. In Ephesians 2:6, if it's of faith, it's not of works. If it's of works, it's not of faith. Galatians chapter 1, I believe. Right? It's either the law or works. If it's the works, then it's not the law. If it's law, it's not works. It is finished. That is the foundational premise of the entire Bible. So when I talk about finished work, I'm talking about the foundation, the work of the blood of the Lamb. And that is the finished work. And what is the work of the blood of the Lamb? In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, to cleanse us from all our sins. Well, when was it shed? Before the foundation of the world. My sins have been removed by the blood of the Lamb before the foundation of the world. So which of my sins were future? Or is it really just the sins that I had time to confess before Christ? Well, I think they were all future. We started where He finished. That's why on the seventh day He rested. Because it was complete. The plan was put into action. Creation was created. It was finished. And the Lord called unto Adam and said to him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked?" Now there are two voices. Well, three really. But God is referring to two voices here. His own voice and the enemy's voice. The voice of God will always be a voice of the finished work. The voice of the enemy will always be a voice that denies the finished work. If you're hearing from the Holy Spirit, it is something that is building you in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is not something that is building you in a craving like it did with Eve. It's some sort of a lust pattern. It is not something that is building you in your flesh. And it is not something that is building you in a way that you would walk away from the Word of God. So if I am hearing the voice of God, it is building me in the finished work of Christ. It is drawing me to Him, not away from Him. The voice of God pursued Adam and Eve in the garden. And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" Now, why did he tell them not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? A lot of believers think, and I used to think this too before I studied it out, that, well, for some reason he didn't want us to know good from evil. And I didn't really get it. Why would he not want me to know good from evil? I mean, isn't that what we're supposed to do? Know good from evil? But the good from evil part wasn't the problem. The problem part was knowledge. In the original language there, it's not talking just about knowing something. No, it is talking about how you acquire the knowledge. It's talking about knowledge gained through the empirical senses. Knowledge gained by walking by sight or by the hearing of the ears when it's something other than the Word of God. So it's not the good and evil part. Only really the Holy Spirit can show me what is good and what is evil. So if I'm hearing from God, I'm not going by sight. The Holy Spirit will not speak to me in a way that flatters my sight. Why? Because Hebrews 11:1. Faith is assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of realities unseen. The Holy Spirit is leading me into a walk of faith. The Holy Spirit is leading me into a position where I will have to trust Him. I cannot trust myself. When the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart, it is a voice of trust. it will bring me into a position of faith. And how will it do that? It will do it through the Word of God. One of the things that I always find curious is when somebody I know is not receiving the Word of God. It says, the Holy Spirit said to me, God said to me. No, God didn't. In Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word of God. The word there in the original language is the word rhema. It is a specific revelation from the Holy Spirit, specific illumination from the Holy Spirit for my specific situation in my life. It is not the Logos. It is the rhema. So if the Holy Spirit speaks to me, He speaks to me according to the Word of God that builds my faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. So when I'm receiving from the Holy Spirit something, I'm receiving in one way or another through the Word of God. And although I may not hear a person speak, certainly the Holy Spirit does communicate to our hearts. But it will always be according to the Word of God. It will always build me in the Word of God. It will always build my faith. It will always expand my capacity to walk in trust in Him. And He commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat, or hast thou eaten of the tree wherefore I commanded thee thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman, passed the buck, the woman. Notice that, what was the first? Okay, you got fear, you got shame, you got guilt. The first three results, what's the fourth? Finger pointing. The woman did it, God. It's her fault. What did Eve do? The serpent did it, God. It was his fault. The devil made me do it. No. The Word of God doesn't blame. The Holy Spirit doesn't blame. Now certainly Eve was beguiled, but it was her volition in the end. She was taught every day. That's why the voice of God was calling out to them as the Lord was walking in the garden. Why was He walking in the garden? Because that's what He always did. You know why the tree of knowledge of good and evil was in the garden? Because it was God's tree. Only God has the ability to evaluate by sight. Because God sees everything, including what's in our hearts. And she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Be careful not to hide in religious mentality, in a religious work, and actually hide from God. It's very easy to do. Believers do it all the time. They don't realize it, but they are hiding from God. Now, in Job 32:8, the Word of God says, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. There is nothing about position or age or experience that makes a person wise. It is the Spirit that is in man, fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit of God, that produces wisdom. When you hear from the Word of God, when you hear from the Holy Spirit, you hear through the human spirit. It is the human spirit that is born when a person is born again. So until for an unbeliever, until a person becomes saved, an unbeliever is dichotomous. They are a soul and a body. A believer is trichotomous, a spirit, soul, and body. And the Holy Spirit fellowships with the human spirit. And that's where we hear from God. We don't hear from God in our emotions. We don't hear from God in our flesh. We don't hear from God through anxiety and trying to work it up. You know, a lot of people try to work up hearing from God. They want an answer, and so they try to hear from Him because they're listening for the answer. But He's not saying anything. You know why? Because they're looking. Like, I can look at you all day long and try to hear what you're saying, but you're not saying anything. And I can get really, really subjective and emotional and say, oh, he looked at me like this. It must have been. Well, believers do that all the time. They try to hear from God in their emotions, in their subjective self. And they say, oh, this must be what he's telling me. No, it isn't. He didn't say anything. You see, in John chapter 10, my sheep will hear my voice. It's not my sheep will hear if they really try hard. My sheep will hear if they really get worked up about it. My sheep will hear if they get anxious about it. No, my sheep simply will hear my voice. When will they hear my voice? When he says something. How many believers are walking around hearing voices that aren't actually there? A little bit of spiritual schizophrenia. I mean, it's funny in a way, but it's also serious. I mean, we've all been there. If you've experienced this, don't get condemned. We've all been there. My sheep will hear. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 11, the Word of God says, "And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake it in pieces, and rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in an earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out." Now, a lot of people, and you see this a lot on like television sometimes, and not everybody on television is bad, that's not what I intend to say in this, but for some reason you see a lot of people like late night TV, don't even turn it on, but if you do, you'll probably see some guy selling you something, right? And he's promising you a miracle with it. A lot of people are looking for some sign. They call it a fleece, right? I'm going to cast down a fleece. Why cast down a fleece when you've got the Holy Spirit in you? Do you think God's really going to ignore the Holy Spirit and say, oh, I'm going to cast down a fleece, see if the rainwater appears on it? But they do this. Why? Because they don't know how to hear from God, or they're too anxious and they want an answer when they want it and how they want it, and they want to know what they want to know. And maybe God is simply saying, be patient. When you have done the will of God, you have need of patience. I know believers who make huge life decisions on this. And it's all subjective and emotional. Now, certainly there are times when God will provide for a believer or do something for a believer because their capacity for Him is small. And that's His mercy. But the mature believer is not going to go into these subjective things. The mature believer is not going to look for these signs and wonders. The mature believer is going to listen to the still, small voice. It's a calm whisper in the original language. A calm whisper. It's not a whisper that produces a great deal of excitement, and it's not something that's terribly loud. But it's a still, small voice. How do I stay calm? It's a confident voice. The voice of God is a confident, calm whisper. And all of a sudden, when I've heard from God, I simply know. I don't even know how I know, except that I know I heard from God. How do I know where I heard from God? My sheep will hear my voice. And it wasn't through anxiety, and it wasn't through working it up, and it wasn't through a lot of trying. My sheep simply hear my voice. It was when God did the speaking. I can have a fellowship with God in a moment-by-moment basis simply by staying calm. Be still and know that I am God. Well, if I'm not still, how am I going to know that He's God? That is the qualification for knowing He is God. Be still in your heart. Why? Because when you are still, you can hear the still small voice of God in your heart. By the way, it's not in your head. It's not through reason or thought. It's in your heart. I don't know. Maybe you have never heard the voice of God. And don't be condemned if you haven't. A lot of people haven't. But when you hear the voice of God, you hear it in your heart. And it's not an emotion, it's an assurance. You simply know. And you don't have to wonder about it. Was this, wasn't it, was this, wasn't it, was this, wasn't it? No. You simply know. When Samuel was called by God, he was not yet a believer. He was serving in the temple, but he didn't know God yet, the Word of God says. And so what happened? God called him, he said, Samuel, Samuel, he said, here am I. And then he ran over to the priest. And the priest didn't know God either. Samuel said, the priest said, you're hearing things, you're dreaming, go back to sleep. And it wasn't until the third time that the priest started to figure it out. Oh, maybe that was actually God. Well, you know what? The priest was backslidden. That's why Israel was in the state it was. That's why God called Samuel as just this little child, because the Word of God was precious in those days, the Bible says. The Word of God was precious. Why? The Word of God was rare. The priest wasn't doing his job. What happened to that priest? God took him out. And he instilled a boy. He called a boy. Why? Because it was perhaps the only one who was actually available, because he had faith like a child to come unto Christ. He wasn't going after his intellect. He wasn't going after his preferences. He just was serving God. And so, like a child, he came to him. If I am going to hear the voice of God, I hear it like a child. I do not hear it through great intellect. I do not hear it through great striving. I hear it simply as a child. I simply believe. Like how many little children, like think about what little children are like. If you have like maybe in your families, you may have some little child. You say to them something and it's like, it's gospel. It's simply the way it is. Why? Because you said it. I come to God like a little child. When I hear the Holy Spirit speak, I hear it as a child. It simply is. Now I can trust it. I hear that still small voice and I have assurance in that voice. It simply is. I know I can trust it. And what does it do? It produces a calm assurance in my heart. It doesn't produce excitement. It doesn't produce nervousness. Now, maybe sometime later on down the road, people's flesh can get tangled in. But I mean, as you're hearing, it is a calm assurance in your heart. Just like a child. In Ezekiel 43 in verse 2, the Word of God says, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel came the way from the east, and His voice was like the noise of many waters, and the earth shined with His glory. What does that mean, came the way from the east? The east is talking about the resurrection. What it's saying is the voice of God produced resurrection life. It came the way of the east. The voice of God produced resurrection life. What does that mean? That means that if I'm hearing from the Holy Spirit is going to take me and lead me to the cross. To the place where all my fleshly hang-ups, all my nervousness, my anxiety, my striving, my fear, my worry, I simply lay it down. And I take up the life of God. And I have perfect peace in my soul. How many believers can say they've got perfect peace in their soul? Well, the voice of God brings me to resurrection life, where I have perfect peace in my soul. If it's not bringing me to resurrection life, if it's not producing a well of life flowing out of me, if it's not shedding the love of God abroad, it's not the voice of God. It's not the Holy Spirit speaking, because it doesn't have the fruit of the Spirit in it. But if it is producing life in me, if it is building my faith, if it is leading me to Him, if it is producing hope in my heart, then it's the voice of God, and it's a still, calm, small voice. The voice of God is not in the fire and it's not in the earthquake. The voice of God is still and small. And I need to be still and know that He is God, because that's where I hear the voice of God. And it's like the sound of many waters. Water there, in the Bible, water is a picture of the Word of God. Again, the voice of God is the sound of the Word of God. The voice of God brings me to His Word. It fills me with His Word. And I simply know that I have received an illumination from God. And it produces life in me. Now in closing, in Psalm chapter 29, and boy, we could really just look at this entire psalm, but there's a few things that it says about the voice of God. Let's just look at the beginning of the psalm. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. Worship the Lord in beauty and holiness. Have you ever considered that worshiping the Lord is beautiful? Like, what do you think is beautiful? Do you think maybe like a sunrise is beautiful? Or maybe you see a flower and you say, this is beautiful. Or maybe you go to the mountains or to the ocean and you look out and say, this is beautiful. There is something that God calls beautiful. There are a number of things. Worshipping the Lord in holiness, in purity of truth, in that sanctification in our hearts where we are set apart from the world and alive unto God. God calls that beautiful. This is why God calls the believer beautiful. Did you know that you are beautiful in God's eyes? God looks at you and He thinks, beautiful. Well, your worship to Him is beautiful to Him. And the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. Again, the voice of the Lord speaks through the Word of God, or according to the Word of God. The God of glory thundereth, and the Lord is upon many waters. Now, where it says thundereth, it's not talking about being, you know, somehow outwardly magnificent or some you know, outward thing. But the voice of the Lord in my heart is loud. Although it is a still small voice, the power of that voice is significant. The Word of God has power in the heart of a man. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to a man, there is power in that speech. That is why I can stay calm. That is why it is a calming, assuring voice, because I know the power of God is behind it. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. When the Holy Spirit speaks, it's not a trivial thing in my heart. It reflects the majesty of God. It reflects His majesty, His sovereignty, His dignity. It reflects all that God is. It reflects His majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. And the cedars there are talking about strong things. What is strong in your heart? What is a strong thing in your life? What is it that you are relying on? The voice of the Lord, the Holy Spirit's voice, will break it. You see, God does not want me to live in the strength of my flesh any more than He wants me to live in the weakness of my flesh. A lot of believers think as long as they are living in the strength of their old sin nature, in other words, in my natural disposition, I'm good at this. And so in my natural disposition, I will produce this for God. You know what? It didn't work for Cain. It ain't working for me either. That's all that Cain did. He walked in the strength of his flesh, and in the strength of his flesh, he tried to serve God. He didn't fail. The Bible doesn't say that he failed until he killed Abel. The part that was rejected was the good part of his flesh, the good part of his natural being, of his natural disposition, the good part of where he didn't have to rely on God. He was deceived in that area. And the voice of God breaks that in the believer's heart. He maketh them to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like young unicorns. The voice of God produces joy in my heart. If it isn't producing a calm assurance and a joy in my heart, it's not the Holy Spirit. Because in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The flames of fire talks about the Holy Spirit's conviction. The Holy Spirit's conviction, when the voice of God speaks, the Holy Spirit speaks, the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes in precision and truth. And it divides. That is why the Word of God is a flaming sword coming out of Christ's mouth. That is why the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, because it divides. The voice of God, the Holy Spirit's voice, brings an assurance and conviction. The voice of God shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. Kadesh was a desolate, vast, but glorious place. The voice of God is bigger than I am. The voice of God is bigger than my need. It will shake my need, and it will shake that part of me that is living in the wilderness. The voice of God will take the believer, and it will shake whatever it is that can be shaken. Whatever it is that is not surrendered to Him, it will shake it. The voice of God maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the fore. The voice of God gives life, and discovereth the forests, and in His temple doth everyone speak of His glory. The voice of God is going to bring believers into fellowship in a place where they are receiving richly from Him. That is what it's talking about when it's talking about a forest, because we are as trees. It brings believers together to fellowship in the Word of God, to receive the Word of God in the finished work and in grace, in the truth of the gospel, to transform the heart of the believer. If I am hearing from the Holy Spirit, it will lead me into the fruits of the Spirit. If I am hearing from the Holy Spirit, it will lead me to the Word of God. If I am hearing from the Holy Spirit, it will produce peace and faith in my heart. It is not emotional. It's simply the voice of God. And I will hear it, because my sheep will hear my voice. Amen.